Okay, so let's spend a few minutes now at the end of Morning Seder on getting comfortable with the framework of Maseches Kelim. As we said before, earlier this morning, the halachas of the world, the sugyas of Tumah V'Tahor, of Seder Taharos, fall into three major sections: a study of the Avos HaTumah, a study of the Mekablei Tumah, and a study of the Darchei HaTahara. And we said in the second section, the Mekablei Tumah, said there are four categories of items in the world that are Mekablei Tumah, that can receive Tumah from an Av HaTumah, or sometimes from another Vlad HaTumah, and those are Adam, Kelim, Ochlim, and Mashkim. Maseches Kelim focuses specifically on, obviously, Kelim. Which Kelim are Mekablei Tumah? As I said earlier this morning, the first perek of Maseches Kelim is an introduction to Seder Taharos in general, a list of the Avos HaTumah. That's the first half of the perek. And then once we're talking about graduated levels of Tumah, the second half of the first perek is levels of Kedusha, the Eser Kedushos. All of Eretz Yisrael has Kedusha, then Aryeh Sima Kafetz Choma, Yerushalayim, Har HaBayis, the Azor, and so on and so forth, building all the way up to the Kodesh HaKadosh. That's the introductory parak. The other 29 prakim, from parak Beis to parak Lamed, of Maseches Kelim, are about Kelim, and about the capacity of a Kli to be a Mekabel Tumah. Two major issues in Kelim. One is that the Torah tells that the halachas of Kelim appear in two places. In the end of Parsha Shemini, there's a lot of Tumah V'Tahara. So the Psukim there, in Perek, near the end of Perek Yud Aleph, talk about if you have various, the Psukim mention various types of Kelim, a Kli, it's a wooden Kli, cloth, this, that. If they came in contact with a Sheretz or with something else, they become Tumah. A kli cheres, pottery, comes in contact with the tumah, becomes tumah. So the notion that kelim can be mekabel tumah already appears in Parshas Shmini, and then it appears further in Parshas Matos, and Bamidbar, Perek Lamed Aleph, in the aftermath of the Melchama against Midian. So the Torah speaks about, you know, how they're going to dispose of various parts of the booty that they had conquered from the Midianim. And one of the items in that discussion is how to make things tahar. The Torah there says, you have clothing, or you have cloth kelim, or kli'or, or kli'etz, you take to mikvah. And the psukim there further go on to use a term, kli ma'aseh. Kli ma'aseh. A kli used for a maisa. So that's the first of the two major concepts of kelim, and in order to be mekabel tumah, it has to be a kli masa. To be a kli is to be a something that has a function, is used for some isa. So the best way, you know, growing up, maybe you heard that a kli is a vessel. Hard to know exactly what a vessel is. It probably meant container. A kli does not have to be a container, but it does have to be a functional tool or a functional device. So yes, containers can be kelim. Pots and pans and spoons. A ladder could also be a kli, and a pocket knife could also be a kli, and a bicycle could also be a kli. It's a man-made item that has a function. So that's why a theme that comes up throughout the Masechta and throughout Shas is that if a kli is broken, it no longer, if it's so broken that it can't work, I have a bowl. And it gets a big hole in it, so now it's no longer, that's no longer kli, that's a shever kli. That's a broken shard. That's no longer kli, and it's memela tahar, because it stopped being a kli mice. It stopped being a functional kli. How big the hole has to be in order for it to lose its status of a kli? So the Mishnayos talk about that. Depends on what it's used for. If a fruit bowl gets a hole the size of a dime, it's still a perfectly functional fruit bowl. If this mug gets a hole the size of a dime, it's absolutely worthless, because this is used for liquid. It's not used for bananas. So that's what one major issue is, the function of a kli, and that it has to be a kli shalem as opposed to a shever kli. The other major issue in Maseches Kelim, which also already appears in the Psukim, both in Shemini and in matos is the material that the kli is made out of. In order to be makabel tuma, it's not enough that it's a usable kli. It has to be on the list of materials that make for a kli it's makabel tuma. When archaeologists dig up a house, if you go to the burnt house in the old city of Yerushalayim, fascinating to see. If you go down, they excavated a home, and they have determined that it's a home of a Kohen family. How do they know? Several pieces of evidence. They found a name, which they linked up with a name. Kasros, we know from Tanoim, was a Kohen family name. But one of the major pieces of evidence is that almost everything there is made out of stone. Almost all the kelim made out of stone. And it's not because stone was so high-end that the aristocratic Kohanim had stone. It's because stone is not on the list of materials that make a kli b'makabel tuma. So if you have a stone bowl or a stone spoon or something like that, even though it's a perfectly functional kli, it's a kli masa, but evan is not on the list of dvarim ha-makabel tuma. So it does not conduct tuma. But kelim made out of wood, or kelim made out of cloth, or kelim made out of leather, kelim made out of metal, kelim made out of pottery, there are other materials also, but those are the five most common materials that a kli made out of that could be makabel tuma. It appears in the psukim. The psukim speak about kelim made out of gold, silver, or copper. The psukim speak about kelim made out of cheres, kelim made out of leather, kelim made out of wood, kelim made out of cloth. So if you have a kli masa and it's made out of the right material, then it is makabel tuma. Now, the Meseches Kelim is organized actually by material. So the first, starting from Perek Beis through Perek Yud is about Kelei Cheres, about halachas of ceramic. Then the next four parak about halachas of metal Kelim, and then wood Kelim, and so on and so forth. And the last parak is about glass Kelim. We'll get back to that in a moment. And the reason why the Masecht is organized in that way is in part because although, as we said, certain issues of Hilchas Kelim are shared by all types of Kelim, defining what's a Kli Masa, what's functional, and what's considered broken, and things of that sort. But the other half of Hilchos Kalim is per material. And not just that in order to be makabel tuma, you have to be on the list of materials that conduct tuma, but that each of those materials has its own unique quirks. There are halachas that are specific to wooden kalim. There are halachas that are specific to metal kalim. There are halachas that are specific to pottery. Let's give just a taste of each. And this actually appears in the Mishnayos. The following din appears in Mishnayos Chulin as well. Those who are learning Chulin more broadly will come across when the Mishnayos talk about differences between two opposing categories. So one of the examples of Mishnayos at the beginning of Maseches Chulin are wooden kelim versus metal kelim. So the Mishnah says, and this is expanded upon more in Mishnayos Kelim, on the one hand, wooden kelim, and as well as cloth and leather, are only makabel tuma if they are vessels. Generally, they have to actually be containers. So if I have a wooden spoon, is makabel tuma. A wooden bowl is makabel tuma because it actually holds something. It has a kli, it's a kli kibul. It has a base kibul. It can hold things. As opposed, let's say, a wooden knife. A wooden knife is a useful tool. It's a kli masa, but it doesn't have a base kibul. So for wood, has an added feature that's only makabel tuma generally. We'll get to some exceptions when we get to Maseches Avin, but generally wood is only makabel tuma if it is a makabel, if it has a base kibul. If it does not have a base kibul, if it's called pshute kli, it's flat kli, it's have a Dixie stick, or a wooden knife or something of that sort, not makabel tuma. That's one of the quirks with the unique denim of wood. Metal does not have that din. So if a metal knife is makabel tuma. On the other hand, a metal kli is only makabel tuma if it's already fully finished. If it's already usable, but you haven't put on all the decoration yet, you haven't done all the, think about, say, forks and knives from the cabinet in your kitchen. Right? So it's not just a blank with an edge or a blank with tines. The handle has metalwork, some sort of pattern or another, floral pattern or lines, whatever it is. So if it doesn't yet have all the planned decoration, all the planned design, that's called a golem. We had that language in Mishnah's Avos also. But gol me klei matechas, a golem, is an unformed lump. So gol me klei matechas are not makabel tumah. If you have a knife, it's already a usable metal knife, but it doesn't have the metal work, the pattern you plan to put on it, even though it's functional, not good enough, not makabel tumah. That's a quirk. That's a unique din of metal. Wood does not have that din. A wooden kli, as soon as it's a usable spoon, even though you plan to do some carving on the handle, by wood, it's already mekabel tumah. So the requirement for base kibul, that's unique to wood and maybe some of the other materials, but not to metal. The requirement for being fully finished, that's unique to metal, not to wood. Ceramic kli cheres, which is made out of soil. You mix soil with water, then you bake it at high heat in the kiln. That's called kli cheres. Ceramically has not just one quirk, it has it's a whole world unto itself. One major one is that kli cheres has no tahar b'mikvah. Unlike other kelim, you cannot take a kli cheres to mikvah to make it tahar. It won't work. The only way to make kli cheres tahar is to break it. As I said before, once it's a shever kli, it's just not a kli. But you can take it to mikvah as much as you like, it will not help. That's one major quirk of cheres. The other major quirk of cheres is here's an example. Here's cheres. Here's a ceramic mug. So usually, a metal kli, a wooden kli, if something davar tami touches it from the outside, from the inside, it becomes tami. Right? Ceramic is very inner centric. So on the one hand, the outside, if a davar tami touches, a dead mouse touches the outside of my mug remains tahar. Because cheres is not makabel tumah from the outside, from the back, from the gav at all. On the other hand, not only will cheres become tame if the dead sheretz touches the inside of the kli, even if it just hangs into the airspace, me'aviro is also makabel tumah. So the outside is impervious to tumah. The inside, even the airspace on the inside, is already can bring tume in and can be matame others. If I have a tume, if this mug became tame, if the food touches, kosher tar food touches from the outside, the food remains tar. If I lower food in a grape in on a string and it's suspended inside the mug, it gives off tume me aviro from the airspace inside. It's part of the uniqueness of kli cheres. Glass is only mekabel tume midrabanan. Torah, it's not midrabanan, it is, because it's similar in certain ways to metal, the way you work it, the way you make it, the way you can fix it. So zechuchas mekabel tumah midrabanan. As we said before, with this we close, three materials are not mekabel tumah whatsoever. Two are not so popular. Clay adama, clay galalim, and clay avanim. Adama is soil, but unlike cheres, it wasn't baked at high heat. I think that's what we call adobe. If you just dry it, you make clay, you dry it in the sun, didn't bake it in a high-fired kiln. So that's clay adama, not makabel tumah at all. Clay galalim is kalim made out of animal manure. Why one would want to use that, I do not know, but apparently it was a thing, and it's not makabel tumah. And finally, the popular one is clay avanim. The Torah never mentions stone as a material from which kalim hamakabel tumah can come, even though it's a perfectly lovely material. Stone kalim are not makabel tumah whatsoever. So again, the two major areas of kalim fits into the world of the second section, the world of makabele tumah. Kalim are one of the four categories of makabel tumah, adam, kalim, ochel, mashkim. And the halachas of kalim are look at sort of the general concept of kli ma'aseh, to be a functional, usable kli, and to have the right material. And specific materials will have specific additional criteria in order to mekabel tumah. Wood has to have a base kibul. Metal has to be fully formed. We spoke about some of the uniqueness of cheres. And we spoke about the materials either not mekabel tumah min haTorah, but are midrabanan, like zechuchis. And the three materials which are not mekabel tumah whatsoever. Rabbi Bose, have a remarkable, remarkable day.